What's up, everybody? It's your host, Isaac Weisop, and you're listening to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture, and of course, got another high-profile ritual, this time the 2021 BET Awards. What are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about the Migos and some very strange symbolism they had. We're going to talk about, what do we got, the hot goss? Meg the Stallion? And then, but the main feature is going to be discussing Lil Nas X. Back in the headlines, how does he do it every time? He knows what he's doing. Well, I'm not going to talk about what you think I'm going to talk about, which was the big open mouth kiss at the end of his performance. Some man-on-man action. We're not really going to talk about that, because I've talked about that kind of stuff before. You know my policy. I'm an inclusive kind of guy. But, you know what? We will talk about it. I take that back. Scratch that. We're going to revisit that. Then, but more importantly, we're going to talk about the symbolism. There's some deep occult symbolism at play here. We've touched the peripheries of that rabbit hole. We're going to plunge it. We're going to plunge down that hole today, though. Oh, dear. This is getting bad. Then, that's it. Another short episode for you. Another short one. But it's relevant. It's important. Why not? Right? And I'll put the images described on Instagram at Isaac Weisop. Like and subscribe. Link in the show notes as always. So, why not? No housekeeping. Let's go right into it. The Migos. You know the Migos. Well, they dropped a new album, Culture 3. And they have a new single called Straightening. And they came out performing it. But what was strange was that they came out with gas masks on. Okay. Right? And there's probably a reason for that. But the scene they painted was that of an apocalyptic scene. Okay. Which, whatever, I mean, artists do that sometimes. But to me, what's concerning, if you recall, not 2 years ago, I did a show about a performance Quavo from the Migos did with Madonna. They did this at the, and we're talking about, if you go back to, oh dear, May 20th, 2019, I did this show. Of course, that's pre, what's the term I got to use to skirt the censors? Pre, 2020 incident? That's stupid. You know what? This is how I know the truthers were right all along. The fact that I have to not say certain terms. But you know what I'm talking about. And, this is May 2019 at the Eurovision Awards. And there was a lot of symbolism in their performance. They had like the pillars. We had, there was all kinds of stuff. But the takeaway, what I'm trying to get at here, is you hear Madonna talk about how we're aware of their crimes and how they're going to act. What are they talking about? They're talking about the church. They're talking about religion. Because at the end, you see them on top of these steps above the destroyed, inverted church. And you see an army of people, the masses, the sheep, going up these stairs and sacrificially dying over the edge. While Madonna and Quavo hold hands at the top because they think they are joining the elites of the world. They're part of this, Great Reset, whatever, I guess. And they have a large message at the top that says, wake up. And they're standing on top of this pyramid of stairs between the two pillars. They're entering the mystical place. You are not invited. They're leading the masses up and over the edge. And when you listen to the lyrics, should you think I'm being hyperbolic here, the lyrics say, not everyone's coming to the future. Not everyone's learning from the past. You know? Not everyone's going to last. open your mind, open your eyes, which ironically is what we're going to talk about with the third eye with Lil Nas X. And, you know, they're talking about freeing your mind. And it's like, what I interpreted it as back in May 2019 was they're saying that religion and the church is suppressing thought and sort of limiting your beliefs. And they're talking about how they can light up the dark. And this is very, they say, we can light up the dark. Everyone has a spark. And this is like a Kabbalistic Gnostic idea. And you see this with a lot of secret societies where they talk about, like the initiates, right? They put a mask over their eyes, the hoodwink. And then it's removed at a certain stage of the initiation process because that's what it's all about, is going from the darkness to the light. You see that symbolism in that phrase often, because it's representing the removal of the ignorance, and now the third eye is opened to this new great way of thinking, this great philosophy of life. And they talk about the future being bright, don't turn off the light, tell the sun not to shine. And it's all this it's the same references you see in all these secret societies and these secret occult teachings about the sun. It's the mystery religion of the sun, which ultimately, when you go down the path, I believe, takes you to the worship of Lucifer. You know? And that's not, I mean, that's a, I just isolated a lot of ideas and research and theories into one statement, but that's essentially what it goes to. When they talk about this worship of the sun and this wisdom and the Sophia and, you know, opening your eyes and taking off the blindfold and going from dark to light, it's this awakening and this understanding of the Luciferian Antichrist religion of the future. And in the lyrics, they revealed the whole thing. In the future, it's where we come from. We're stars. It's all about going out of the cosmic consciousness and rising above it all. And that's what, you know, Quavo was doing with Madonna right before the big thing happened. And then fast forward to, you know, June of 2021, and there's Quavo and the Migos, of course, showing you the gas masks, showing you the apocalyptic visions of the future where everything is being destroyed. Why is it being destroyed? Well, it's being destroyed in order to rebuild it according to the new image. The new world order, as it were. The great reset. Now, does that mean the Migos are architects of this? No, I don't think so. I think they're just making some music. But I think there's some direction given. Maybe they don't know it. I don't know. This is the big question that I wish I had an answer for you, but I don't. But what's even more curious is that, and I didn't see this anywhere online, really. I mean, I barely looked it up. But in the background of this apocalyptic scene, you see a giant building on fire exploding, and you see these explosions everywhere. And, well, I mean, I don't want to be too soon with it, but is that the Miami condo? It seemed like a strange thing to put so recently after this incident that's dominating the headlines. And if you listened to I did two shows on McAfee recently. One is only on Rockfin. Link in the show notes. I do a show exclusive to Rockfin. We kind of did a dive into McAfee's death, but then I did a show on breaking social norms. That's my third podcast, and you can get that free anywhere. It's also got a Patreon. It's also on that Rockfin too, if you want to go ad-free, uncensored. But we talked about the theories surrounding how McAfee clearly many times said he would not kill himself and that they were going to do it. And there's a theory that it initiated a dead man switch. And there's a theory that the attempt to stop that dead man switch was by taking down this giant building in Miami. I don't know. Is it true? No clue. It seems pretty wild. But that's what we talked about on Breaking Social Norms just this weekend. It's uploaded. You can check it out. I'll try to put a link in the show notes, but it's called Breaking Social Norms. But yeah, very strange. And then Cardi B came out looking very pregnant because, of course, it was a big publicity stunt because previous to the award show, she announced she was pregnant with her second child to Migos rapper Offset. And many years ago, I was back in the blogging days, I was covering Offset, and he, oh dear, and I wish I had it up, I could have given you more info, but he was basically, because I had to take everything down, because they came after your boy. They hit me with the lawsuits. Who's they? I don't know. But basically, I took all my posts down from IlluminatiWatcher.com to prevent further lawsuits. But Offset was in the past talking about, I don't know, how bad the Satan-worshipping people were. Basically, he was kind of on the pro-Christian side. So how does that align into this whole narrative? You got me. It's a big curveball. Because it seems like Quavo's cool with going with Madonna to talk this Luciferian stuff. But they're two separate people, so maybe they both disagree on that. Maybe Quavo has no idea, and he's just like, hey, you know, Madonna calls me up on stage, I'm going up. And Madonna knows. I think Madonna does know. That's why she was singing about the fried fish in the bathtub. Remember that? Next. What do we got next? Let's see here. We had Moneybagg Yo did a little performance for you. I don't know the name of the song. Look at my wrist, I got time today. That's the song. And when he did that song, on the stage, there's a center stage, and it was an oblong eyeball shape. And should you think I'm kind of being eccentric about things, there were some screens behind the stage that also showed an eyeball. But on the sort of bird's eye view of the center stage with the oblong stage, they had a big Benjamin Franklin, right? Because it's referring to making money. $100 bills. I mean, his name is Moneybagg Yo. He's getting that bag. But, you know, Benjamin Franklin, there's some Illuminati confirmed there. He was recently we talked about how under one of his homes in the UK, they found all these skeletons. Because I would argue maybe he was into human sacrifice. Maybe. But of course the mainstream media is, no. This is because they were doing autopsies. This is back when they were banned. So they had to do this stuff in secrecy in the basement. Oh, it's for scientific pursuits of knowledge. Oh, my bad. I mean, never mind homeboy was in the Hellfire Club where they would go underground and do satanic rituals and have all kinds of orgy sexy time and wear the masks and do debauchery and all kinds of crazy stuff. But, you know, I'm just a conspiracy guy. What do I know? Let's see what else we got. Are we already at the end? Nope. I got more notes. DJ Khaled had the performance with, you know, I Did It. It's called I Did It. And it had Lil Baby, and it had Meg Thee Stallion, and it had Da Baby. And you'll notice that Megan Thee Stallion, this is the hot goss, okay? This is no Illuminate confirmed. Meg Thee Stallion did not share the stage with Da Baby. They very obviously were never on the stage at the same time. Even at the end where everyone came out and did a sort of group thing, no Meg Thee Stallion. And the reason that's interesting to a dork like me, because I don't know if you know this, but Megan Thee Stallion was shot by Tory Lanez in the foot, shot nonetheless. On purpose? No, I mean, allegedly, right? I'm going to put the big allegedly in there. And DaBaby previously was working with Megan Thee Stallion, and apparently they were like, friended up. And then DaBaby released a new song with Tory Lanez and retweeted a joke of Tory Lanez about how Tory shot Meg Thee Stallion. And Megan Thee Stallion was like, bruh, what are you doing? Like, she seemed on some levels to be okay with, like, the professional relationship of them doing a song together. But then she was like, but that's not cool. You're retweeting him joking about shooting me. And then DaBaby was like, I didn't retweet that. Twitter retweeted it. It was a glitch. I don't know. Don't ask me. But I thought it was interesting. Another interesting observation before we get to the last point, because the last point is going to be the longest point, and I'm really trying to milk this out to give you at least a half hour, another micro episode, if it were, as it were. The masks. When are they taking the masks off? I'm starting to think these truthers might have been right this whole time, because as you know, over the last year and a half, I've stopped talking about it for the last year. Because it's just beaten to death. And at this point, everyone's picked their camp. I haven't, ironically. Because, I mean, it's really hard to know and discern the truth here. On one hand, 1,000,000%, I see how the truthers say, look, this is definitely in line with the goals and the agenda. 1,000,000%, I get it. I see that. I'm like, yep, I agree. But on the other hand, I'm kind of like, but like viruses happen. So that leaves me in a middle ground where I'm like, I think the virus happened, whether that came from the lab. Do we know that yet or not? I've always been a supporter of the lab theory because I'm like, yo, these nerds are too much. In fact, I shared a thing on Instagram, if you saw it, with Jon Stewart, an interesting clip of he used my exact phrase. He says these nerds are going to kill us. He did it. You got to check that out when you go to the Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt. You liked and subscribed. You'll see the Jon Stewart clip as well. I just posted that a couple days ago. But like, it leaves me in the middle where I'm like, on one hand, I'm like, yeah, viruses happen. Like, those exist. I'm not so far down the conspiracy rabbit hole of a lot of folks that are like, what do you call that? Anti-germ terrain theory or whatever. I had Greg Carwood on here on my show, and he was talking about this idea. Interesting idea. I don't profess to be an expert on any of this, but I'm not so far down the rabbit hole that I'm like, oh, okay, every single like medical person's wrong, and germs aren't real. I don't know that they're real, but like, I'm just not that far down the rabbit hole, okay? Not a good truther. I'm not black-pilled yet where everything is fake and nothing's real. I'm just not. I'm sorry. I'm not that guy. But yeah, I've lived in this sort of middle state of like, well, gosh, like on one hand, I believe this is a real thing, but I also see how it's been hyper-inflated. I mean, a year and a half ago, they were like, oh, everyone's going to die, by the way. We ran the formulas. We ran the models, and everyone's going to die. So let's shut the world down. And it's clearly not that. It's clearly not that. So now we're in this weird state of, okay, it looks like things are under control. Where does it end? Where does the tyranny end? Because the whole time people were losing their minds about, oh, these masks are tyranny. And I was always kind of like, yeah, but if it helps, I mean, I don't know. But now I'm kind of more on the truther side where I'm like, okay, this is too much now. Like, at some point, we're taking them off, right? I don't know. And look, I live in Utah. I have a very skewed perspective. I don't live, like, some of these truthers, they live out in Cali. In Utah, man, like, we've been very anti-tyranny since day one. So it's been pretty easy for me. And, oh, man, there's the crow outside my window, watching, waiting, saying, Isaac, can you make this a 30-minute show? Yes, I can, little crow. Are birds real? People say birds aren't real. How deep down the rabbit hole you want to go? Anyway, I've always been like, look, don't lose your mind, truthers. The masks are an attempt to show people like, hey, maybe there's a little bit of control. Don't be too scared. And eventually they're coming off. Well, I'm telling you right now, they were all over the award show dancing around, and I'm like, dude, surely not all those people need to wear the masks. But they're still doing it. They're like, the Migos coming out with the gas masks on. When is it going to stop? I don't know. Hopefully soon. Or maybe the truthers are right, and like, this is just the long game, and this is the new normal. Could go either way. Could go either way. Now, either way, I do think, I do support the truth or stance that, like, this is being used for the Great Reset, for the new normal, for the, you know, Fourth Industrial Revolution, whatever you want to call this. I'm with that 1,000,000%. For sure, that's being used. So that's where we align up, okay? Now, the last performance, or the last topic, the longest topic, Lil Nas X. I've talked about him many times. Talked about him many times on this show. I've talked about him on Breaking Social Norms. Because he came out as gay, and he's been doing really gay things ever since. Which was fine. I don't care. And then he come out. But the only thing that bothered me was, like, he started writing kids' books. Because here's the thing. He did Old Town Road and had a giant audience, right? Like, everyone loved it. Everyone. Little kids especially. And he was like, oh, I got the ears of the little kids. Let's write a kid's book. Cool, bro. Good for you. Get that bag. Get that money bag, yo. And then, like, a month later, after he releases his kid's book, he dropped Montero. And he was having gay sex with the devil. And he released shoes with human blood and 666s all over. And I thought, okay, that's a bridge too far, my friend. And it wasn't because I don't care. Like, you could do devil worship stuff all day. I don't give a shit. You could do gay stuff all day. I don't give a shit. You could do gay stuff with the devil all day. Don't bother me any. But I found it very curious that, like, he had the ear of the children. He had a targeted audience of the children. And, like, even with a target audience with the gay thing, like, I don't care about that even. But, like, when you put the devil stuff in there, like, that's what I'm like, yo, who you working for now, you know? Who you working for? But I'm here to stick to the facts. You can have your opinion. I don't care. Do you. But it was curious because he did this whole performance, and we're mostly going to talk about the Egyptian symbolism and the alchemical ideas that it presents. But real quick, I can't avoid the main topic. The main question you probably have is about the end of the performance. Remember how Madonna had Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera on the MTV VMAs, and at the end of the performance, they did a big gay kiss, which was heard around the world 1,000,000 times over. Well, at the end of this one, we had a big gay kiss between Lil Nas X and one of the dancers. Open mouth, full of tongue. They zoomed in. They knew it was coming. We all saw it. And it was curious because I thought, I listen to a lot of rap music. I don't know, and I don't want to stereotype. I'm going to be very careful with my words here. But I'm going to guess a lot of rappers did not love to see that. They panned to the crowd and showed exactly zero rappers. In fact, they showed mostly women. They showed one male who was clapping. I don't remember who it was. But I remember the whole time thinking, oh boy. Because I actually knew it was coming, okay? So during the performance, I was like, oh man, are they going to pan to the crowd? I don't know how cool they are with this, with the kissing. But that's it. That's what happened. And more importantly, the symbolism here. And I'm not condoning it. I'm not saying it's good, bad, or the other. I'm just saying it happened. And it was coordinated to happen. They zoomed in for it. They all knew it was happening. And look, I'll throw a defense out there for the LGBTQ community. Maybe this is part of, because, like, on some levels, they say, look, we got to have some, you know, acceptance of gay rights. gay marriage, all that stuff, which I'm in support of. And maybe they say, look, people still don't get it. People are still like upset and scared by these things. Maybe we need some acceptance by showing it more. Or maybe they're using the LGBTQ community. You ever think about that? Maybe they're using them for shock value. Maybe Lil Nas X is using them to sell products. So who should be more upset at who here? Right? I can't speak for other people. But that's what I would think. I would think, come on, dude. Like, if I was a gay dude, if I was a black gay man, and I saw this, I'd say, bro, what are you doing? Like, we're not all, like, trying to be in your face about it. Like, this is what, like, straight people get upset about. They're like, oh, just don't shove it down my throat. I don't want to see. There was a, years and years and years ago, there was a, I don't remember, it was a stand-up comedy I watched or something, but they were like, I just don't want to see two, I think it was Louis C.K. making a joke about this idea. And he's like, I don't want to see two, you know, gay dudes blowing each other in my front yard or whatever. And it's like, dude, they're not doing that. So like, if I was gay, I'd be like, bro, like, let me just be gay. I don't need to see like this shock value kissing on the stage, upsetting straight people everywhere. You know? Anyway. What do I know? Just a hetero cis white male trying to talk about the occult, which is what we're going to talk about right now. The symbolism. See how I dance around that topic for 10 minutes? That's why we don't talk about those things, because we just end up dancing. The weird world we live in today. Good night. The alchemical idea is presented here, because that's what this was. Let's take away all that stuff we just talked about, the shock value and all those different virtue signaling, all those things. Let's take those away for a minute. Let's talk about the occult, because that's what we could have just seen. The androgyny of Lil Nas X. Yes. There's an occult aspect here. And let's walk you down the path here. The great work of alchemy, right? And a term called the ladder of the planets. It's the path for the initiate, okay? And I'll try to make this basic and short so you don't get too bored or confused. Not that I profess to really understand this stuff that deep. But the idea here is that the initiates of alchemy can progress through a initiation phase to reach perfection. And to them, perfection is embodied by the androgyne, which is the mixture of opposing forces of male and female. So when you see Lil Nas X, who's a man in appearance, but he acts feminine in certain ways, you know, shaking his hips. He's shaking his hips and talking about being a bottom and all that stuff on the songs. It's very confusing, right? It's because it's an androgyne. It's a perfected state. And we're going to talk about that, so hold that thought. But in great work, the great work of alchemy, you climb the ladder to achieve this perfected spiritual state. You ascend up to the great universe, the cosmic consciousness, by following the sun. You follow the pattern of the sun as the role model. And the sun, it travels through the zodiac, through the astrological signs, also known as the ladder of the planets. And you'll notice on the stage, while Lil Nas X was singing, it was all ancient Egyptian themed. And if you go to like terrible websites like BuzzFeed, they're like, oh, it was an homage to Michael Jackson's Remember the Time. Like, okay, maybe. Or maybe there was like some pagan ancient mystery school ideas being presented as a mass public ritual. I mean, at the beginning of the thing, you saw the black robes showing us, like, you know, like CeeLo Green at the Super Bowl with Madonna, the black priests, the black arts, the dark arts. Well, they come out in the black robe, and you see Lil Nas X as the with horns. I'll put that image on Instagram. He's got horns if you look at the robe that he's wearing on the sort of coin image on the background. It's kind of hard to explain. You got to see it to believe it. But yeah, the whole set was ancient Egyptian themed, right? And at the end, for the grand finale, you know, the big the kiss, they did it in front of the all-seeing eye of Horus. All right. Now, why is all this play into alchemy? Well, the ancient Egyptians, they're the ones that invented the alchemy. Given to them from Thoth, from the gods. The gods directly during Zeptepi, during the time that the gods existed and were, you know, walking around. Thoth, the god of magic, said, here you go. Here's how you do it. Here's how you become me. And there was all these ideas like the law of correspondence, which is a hermetic principle, as above, so below, commonly known as. The idea that we're connected to the cosmos. The macro connects to the micro. Well, the ancient Egyptians, they used that law of correspondence and said, well, what happens with the sun out in the cosmos, you can do with the human body. Because we're all connected. We're as above, so below. And each planet that the sun goes through, each zodiac sign that the sun goes through is equivalent to a chakra energy center on the body. And the third eye chakra, which, you know, we saw the eye of Horus, which represents the third eye. This is reflected by the moon. Okay. For contrast purposes, the sun is represented as the crown chakra at the top of the head, which, not to get too far off the beaten path, but the crown chakra is also depicted as the twin-petaled horns of Moloch, right? That's why we see all that Moloch symbolism all the time. But anyway, we're not here to talk about Moloch. We're talking about the third eye chakra, reflected by the moon. Now, at each planet or chakra, right? The planet represents the sun's journey out in the cosmos. The chakra represents the human journey down here, as above, so below. At each planet or chakra, a different alchemical operation is to be performed. This is the distillation is a process in alchemy. In the emerald tablets that were supposedly given to man from Thoth, it said, it rises from earth to heaven and descends again to earth, thereby combining within itself the powers of both the above and the below, right? So distillation is one of the operations of alchemy. And this happens at the moon. The moon reflected by the third eye chakra, aka the all-seeing eye of Horus. Now, all of this Egyptian symbolism is important to alchemy because, again, this is where it comes from. The term alchemy actually refers to the black fertile soil of the Nile River. And that's why when they talk about like the blackening, which is your first stage of the alchemical process, it's a reference to the fertile black soil of the Nile. Also represented by Saturn, right? The black cube of Saturn. That's what it's all about. This is the beginning and the end of the great work. Because to them, all possibilities exist in the blackening stage. It's like the limitless potential. And fun fact, the cipher for Saturn was the letters RX. And the alchemists, they used to write this down, because alchemy, so chemistry comes from alchemy. And back in the day, they didn't have like doctors, right? They had these weirdo scientists called alchemists. Well, the alchemists would write RX on a piece of paper as the prescription cure for patients who had ailments. sounds bizarre, right? And maybe someone can try this and see if it works. Don't do it. I'm just kidding. The patients would come see the alchemist, and the alchemist would be like, RX, that means Saturn. That's a cipher for Saturn. And the patient would eat the paper with the Saturnian sigil. And fast forward to today, and the doctors who, do the work of the Caduceus symbol, they use this as the shorthand term for prescription, RX. So when they fill out a prescription paper, RX, it's a reference to the Saturnian cipher. Fun fact, right? Now, Lil Nas X. Why is he embodying both female and male attributes? Well, it's the alchemical marriage. It is the final plan for the great work of alchemy. It's the union of opposites. This is the marriage of the sun and the moon. The divine marriage, the divine wedding, the alchemical wedding. Carl Jung called it the sacred marriage. Which, by the way, Carl Jung's got a Saturnian cube at the memorial for his, where he lived in Switzerland, if you've ever seen that. But anyways, during this process of the actual alchemical marriage, it creates the androgyne, which has both elements of male and female. Which, like, as a side note, like, we all have bits of feminine and masculine within us. We're not all that different. In fact, like, even not to get too crazy about it, but like in the creation phase, in the womb or whatever, the genitalia is pretty much identical. And you know, for males it just goes external, and for females it basically goes internal. It's an oversimplification, but like, we're not so different, you and I, male and female. But they like division, you know what I mean? Like, the control system likes division, which to me is the, you want to go back to the thing, the big event of 2020, the big thing. That's, is that not a tool being used against the truther community? Because you've got all these disagreements within the truthers and we start fighting each other. Anyway, that was just an observation I'd made on Twitter. Thought, God, can we stop arguing about this stuff? That's what they want. They want us to argue amongst ourselves and break apart because there's a control in the divide and conquer scheme. Anyway, the alchemical marriage. There's this process where the male and the female are combined. This is analogous to the sun and the moon. This is analogous to kinetic energy and potential energy. This is the spirit and the soul. All these attributes are divided up as male and female, and they're combined. This is the sexual union of opposing forces, and it gives birth to the divine androgyne. This is the perfected child. This is the product of the great work. This is the alchemical hermaphrodite, the rebus. So when you see Lil Nas X acting feminine, he could very well be embodying the alchemical rebus. I mean, we certainly saw the ancient Egyptian symbolism on his set. Could it be that they were showing us an actual alchemy on the stage? The ladder of the planets. So there you go. That was the whole thing. That was the BET Awards. What's something positive? Let's leave with something positive here. They had a tribute to DMX at the end, which was great. Jadakiss came out for the Rough Riders anthem. I enjoyed that. Busta Rhymes was up there. Good times. And what else was on here? What's something else fun and positive we can talk about? Oh, I don't FW with R&B music really, but there's a performer, her name was Andra Day. She did a version of Billie Holiday's Strange Fruit, and it was really good. And I thought, who's this? Who's Andra Day? And I was listening to her album. It was really good. So if you like the R&B music, she sounds a little bit kind of like, I don't know, Amy Winehouse meets Lana Del Rey with a more R&B vibe to it. If that's your thing, you know, IFW with that. That's pretty good. But yeah, the and look, ultimately, let's zoom back out. When we're talking about mass rituals, like BET is an extension of their owners, which is Viacom. Because we've talked about this before. There's only six major media companies that own like 90% of what you can see. So when you watch this overdone virtue signaling of wearing masks, like these poor performers are gonna wear these damn masks, they're dancing around. I thought, bro, give it a rest. Like, isn't this over? But to me, like, that is indicative of more support. I always say the truthers are right, which is a joke. Because, like, they're not always right. But sometimes they're right. Sometimes they're right. Maybe they're right about this. They've been crying for a year and a half, like, tortured teenagers with roles from their parents. Maybe they've got justification here. Maybe they're right. Maybe they're never going away. Maybe this is part of the big plan. I mean, I could see it. I don't disagree with some of the evidence presented. I mean, I've been talking about it for a long time. Well, I talked about it for about 3 months in early, mid-2020 because there was a lot of very red flags going on. And there still are. I'm just tired of talking about it. But, yeah, all very curious that, you know, Viacom doing the virtue signaling of the mask still. It's all right there. But anyway, specifically, we saw an alchemical operation right in front of us. That's the big takeaway. And the Migos was very curious. So again, see those images that I'm talking about. Was that the Miami condo and the Migos performance? Why would they do that? Why are they showing us the apocalypse? Is it because they know it's coming? Quavo was hanging out with Madonna. They were saying it was coming. And then it started coming. Check out the images. Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt. Like and subscribe. Link in the show notes. Also, if you want to support the show, you can check out my Rockfin, rockfin.com/creator/Isaac. That's got that show I did about John McAfee. And it's also got Breaking Social Norms, my other podcast I do, uncensored, ad-free. If Rockfin's not your thing, I got Patreon, patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. You get all the bonus content, ad-free, all that stuff. A ton of goodies. You get books, all kinds of stuff. In fact, I just gave away a bunch of promo codes for a free download of my new Audible release, Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Use Your Illusion 2, now available. And that was only on my Patreon team. And of course, I've always got the VIP section on IlluminatiWatcher.com. That's another option. Some people don't like Patreon. Hey, I aim to please. I'm wherever you need me to be, okay? All right, my friends, thank you. Till next time, stay woke.